Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
How you been, buddy?
Not too bad. I'm looking forward to spring again. This winter weather is kind of, you know.
We literally just started getting it into the cold weather.
Yeah, I missed fall. See,
cause we all missed fall.
It didn't happen. It was like a cough half a week, and then it's like,
well,
oh.
Yeah, well, because summer lasted longer than it should have. And
summer always lasts longer.
Well, you know, we live in the Midwest.
Yeah.
This is normal. Like, we'll have snow in April.
Yeah.
Maybe
and then,
May.
I'll say in the next week it'll be in the 60s. You
exactly.
Know,
so. Yeah.
We'll have one, you know, season when you can have them all.
In Indiana? Yeah. No, we had all four seasons in 1 week.
Yeah.
I think in, like, November.
Seems legit.
Yeah. Midwest weather. It's so fun. So today, we, you know, obviously everybody is aware of Stan Lee's passing. So as a tribute, per se, we are going to do a lesser-known Stan Lee creation. You feel like you just
I just, like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, it is sad. But people are like, you know, oh, it's so horrible that he passed away, but the dude has lived his life. He literally created universes.
Yes.
Is like, his.
Yeah, horrible.
And like, horrible. It's like, I mean, if you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, he's definitely one that, yeah, he definitely will be missed. I know, obviously, from what we're doing, we know him as the creator of all of these worlds. Like, our kids' generation, they know him as, oh, the guy in the Marvel movie.
Yeah, which, you know, this next generation is not going to know that because it's not.
We still have, like, three appearances, I believe. But yeah.
I mean, but think about it. What are you going to do the first time you see a Marvel movie and there's not that, you know? It's going to be sad. It really is.
Well, it's going to be sad when we go to see, well, next one's Captain Marvel, and she's dedicated to Stan Lee.
Yeah.
But actually, it's not next one is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. The cartoonish.
Yeah, looks good.
It does look pretty good.
Well, actually, when this comes out, the following week. so, yeah. No, that I do look forward to
but
that.
But, no, I mean, just seriously, think about, though, when we watch the movie and you're like,
yeah,
there's
no Stan Lee.
There's no Stan Lee.
I've seen a couple of different, not memes, but a couple different posts saying either Deadpool should put like a wig and a mustache on and still pretend to be Stan Lee. I also saw one where somebody said put a picture of Stan Lee somewhere and just have like a Where's Waldo thing with him. Like, I like that one. That one would be more realistic. I would love to see Ryan Reynolds put on the costume.
Well, see,
for the movie.
I want to see, you know, Ryan Reynolds like look through the movie and then at the end of it be like, Stan died? And then, because he's the only one that would know.
Yeah, they talked about that in the comics. Well, not in the comics per se, but there was something posted about that. Deadpool would be the only one that knows Stan Lee died, and he would mourn
for
him. Where everybody else is just like
has no idea what's going on.
Gwenpool would know too, because she's got that knowledge.
But it's a Deadpool thing, because, you know, Gwenpool is just a, you know, alternate Deadpool. Yeah. So,
well,
look, anything that's breaking the fourth wall.
Yes, but her name actually is Gwenpool. Pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'll have to let you read those comics. Her issues were actually really good. I'll get into you sometime. But back on track, we're talking about one of Stan Lee's lesser known creations called The Traveler.
Yeah, this is my first time ever actually hearing about it.
Yeah, I bought the trade a couple years ago, and it's been sitting on my shelf. And I'm like, I'll read this eventually. And then, of course, he died. And I'm like, oh, this is the perfect time. Everybody on every other comic podcast is going to be talking about all the stuff he did for Marvel. The Just Imagine Stan Lee, you know, created the DC Universe, all those books. A bunch of other, like, just all of those major stuff that he's done. This is one that I'm like, no one knows a lot about this. And I don't think this sold well. Like, this, we're going to be doing the first four issues of this book. And it was only a 12-issue run. So, and then there was another one he did, I think, called Starborn, which I think we'll get onto.
Is that the one that was in the back of this?
Yeah, that's
okay.
the preview. Yeah, so the title is The Traveler by Boom Studios, along with Stan Lee's Power Entertainment. This was published in late 2010 and early 2011. The writer is Mark Wade. Art is done by Chad Harden. The colors were done by Blonde, with letters by Ed Dukeshire. So let's go ahead and get into the issue.
Okay, so I mean, we start off. There's a woman sitting in the DMV with a pair of glasses on, and she's reading off the eye chart, which
I love right from the beginning.
T-I-M-E is the first line of the time chart. Yeah.
Next line.
Broken.
Immediately, time story.
Yep.
I'm a sucker for time stories. Time travel. Always have been. Don't know why. Just I love them. But yeah, that's. So she's reading off the DMV is just like, all right, just go make the checkout. You passed. Here you go. Here's your driver's test. Whatever. And so as she leaves, she calls up her kid and is telling him to, telling them to put the dinner in the oven and wait 20 minutes and then take it out. And she set a timer on her phone to call him back and let him know, take the chicken out.
I hope these are young kids. That's all I have to say. Because if this is like anything past 12, that's sad.
Well.
No, there's no will. If you're trusting the kid enough to put it in the oven, they can set the timer for themselves.
Same time, if you're trusting the kid enough to be by themselves.
Exactly, you shouldn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But anyways.
In theory. But as she's walking home, or I'm assuming just walking home, not entirely sure. She passes by this bank clock, which starts sparking. And out from the clock hops this man, which is a pretty cool image. Like, clock falls and breaks. And
yeah, it's slagged at the bottom, and then the dude's just standing up above it with, you know... I'm not sure, like, okay, this is just off subject because, you know, it's not going to talk about his powers yet, but, like, does he actually control the powers, or is it the suit that he's got on? Because it's shooting out of things in his hand. And I was curious about that.
See, I'm just going to go ahead and say that it's him controlling it.
Okay.
I mean, we find out here in a bit exactly what is going on, but I'm going to say it's him controlling this power. Like, he's got the powers.
Okay, because, yeah, I was curious. Like, when I was first looking through it, I was curious, because when I saw those on his hands, I was like, oh, so yeah, he's got, you know, like... Because at first, I just thought it was some kind of, like, similar to the Shocker, you know? Like,
yeah,
with the, you
know, bracelets, yes. Yeah. That's a good point. Because, yeah, I didn't notice it the first time around, but... Yeah, he's got brass knuckles on. And yeah, it could have been, like, coming from that, generating through his suit kind of thing, but... No, it's him himself. And these cops pop up and they tell him to freeze. And then all of a sudden the cop's like, what's he doing? He's pulling my gun like a magnet. Because apparently he gets hit by a car.
No, he uses his powers to pull a car and hit the cops. The cops get hit by their own car.
Which that definitely sucks.
That's the last time they interrupt my game of Grand Theft Auto. Oh.
But then he turns his attention back to the lady.
What was it? Danielle, I think was her name?
We find out her name is Danielle, yeah. Yes. She is ends up running into this construction site.
Because that seems like a good idea.
Well, she doesn't know what's going on. She's trying to hide.
Yeah, but dude, okay, look. You're trying to run and hide. You go to the first place that says danger on it. Literally, big red sign.
I mean...
Oh, I guess...
You put yourself in danger. Yeah, well, no, she's got the glasses, so she can see.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, never mind.
That's why she needed the glasses. But she runs in there, and she happens to notice that the guy is actually following her. And he ends up dropping a bunch of girders onto her. Now, before they can actually hit her, though, we see her phone that she has dropped out of her hand, stops, like... It was still left on the timer, and the timer has stopped.
At 17:36. Yeah.
So it's been about, you know, 2.5 minutes since she left the BMW to now, or got phone to now. And so she's standing there, and she looks up, and there's this individual flying through the air holding these girders in place. And he's yelling at her to run.
Well, not necessarily flying. It looks like he's floating down.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. But he's yelling at her to run, and she's in awe of what's going on. Like, there's girders suspended in the air. There's a bee right in front of her that's not moving. And she's like, I don't know what, huh? Like, why isn't it falling?
And then he gets a little, you know, tense, and he's like, hey, you know, what are you, deaf? Move!
Yeah, this is... I love it, too, because this guy is definitely a... Like, he's a... I'll call him a superhero. He's not your, like, happy-go-lucky, like, Superman or Captain America. Like, it's... I'm trying to save your life. Get the fuck out of the way.
Exactly.
Which he basically tells her to move. So he grabs her and rushes her out of the way. And she's like, what's going on? Who are you? Who's that guy? And he explains himself. He's like, I'm a traveler. He is a split-second man. Or one of the split-second men. You know, he has power over the electromagnetic field. You know, magnetism, electricity, radiation, that sort of thing. And before he can actually say thing, they go rushing into a trailer on the construction site and basically get trapped in there. And he asks Danielle, you know, like, where did he pop out of? You know, and she says it's a bank clock. And he makes comments like, of course, a bank clock. That's their sense of humor, you see. And then he starts to go. It seems like he's having a conversation to her and not with her.
Yeah.
Which we know. I noticed he did that a lot through this.
Yeah. Well, because he's talking to himself mostly.
Yeah.
Like to hear himself talking out loud, basically.
Yeah.
And then
he's working through the problems.
Yeah.
Out loud. So he explains to Danielle that
comic book accidental narcissism. Oh.
Well, no, you're not wrong. But he explains to Danielle that, you know, he comes from the future, he can move through time, all the split seconds can. And he explains that there are obviously more than one. And so he is able to grab these, what were they, welding?
Yeah, acetylene supplies. Torch.
So he throws the welding supplies at this guy, and they blow up, setting him on fire as they come floating down. Into back to the ground. I like this. The guy, the traveler, is holding Danielle and letting her know that, you know, she needs to relax. You know, he's controlling the flow of time
to slow their descent, basically.
Yeah. So they're falling in slow motion, and she's like, "I think I peed a little." And he's like, "Understandable. Like, really, dude." Okay, you're people person.
Just go, man. Just go.
Yeah. They get back on the ground and they see this guy, this split second man, come walking out of the fire. He's hurt. He's a little dazed, and the traveler explains that it's not gonna kill him. Like he's not burning alive or anything. He's definitely hurting, but it takes more than that for them to. Be unlatched from time, from this moment of time.
Yeah, because he's talking about how they can withstand the elements because they never know where they're going to appear. Mm-hmm. So whether it's, you know, in the deep sea or in a volcano or something, they've got what the hell do they call it, a chronal aura.
Yeah, which I will say, so throughout the whole series, we see them each split second man when they do pop out of something, we see them pop out of a clock.
Yeah.
Or a watch or something. I'm pretty sure most watches will not survive in a volcano.
Yeah. Or deep sea.
Well, I mean...
No, because they've always got a meter limit and...
Okay. So yeah, so there's some... Well, it just says underwater. It doesn't say deep sea.
I guess that's true.
Either way, like, some of the locations he popped up, like, doesn't make sense.
Well, you know that one time you were at the volcano and you dropped your watch in it?
Oh, so it pops out, he pops out as soon as it, just before it hits the lava. He pops out into the lava. That would suck.
He's just standing above it with watches pouring him out. Like, come on, guys.
Sucker. Any day now, come on. So the traveler mentions that he needs to unlatch this guy from time. And so, but to do that, they need to be unconscious. So he... punches him super hard, sending him flying back. And Danielle's like, I didn't even see the punch. And then the traveler says, you know, it was speed time. Let me hit him like a wrecking ball. Smarts, though, like, you know, definitely
yeah,
hurt.
It's a flash sort of thing. You know, hit him so fast that, you know, it's going to hurt your hand, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, where a flash goes through, you know, speed force.
Yeah.
Uses speed force to do that. He's just freezing time around him as he's doing it himself. Like, he's still human strength, human everything.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, technically, the Flash is still human strength. He's everything, but it's the speed that's behind it that gives it the extra force.
That's fair.
I just first read through this today, just before we started the podcast. I just like to throw this out there. But as I'm rereading through it, as we're going through it, technically, that the acetylene exploding like that should have rendered him unconscious, because there would have been no oxygen in the air. Because if you look at the explosion,
it was right above him.
Yeah, and all literally around on him. Yeah. And he's on fire. And, like, you know, it would have burned up all the oxygen around him, so he should have passed out as soon as that happened.
That's fair.
But, you know, I mean, it's comics, so.
Yeah, comic logic.
Exactly.
There's a lot of flaws. We'll get to it.
Wibbly wobbly comic
book. But there is some lot of. I'll point out the flaws, other flaws that I saw when we get through this. So after the individual disappears, the split second man disappears. Danielle looks to the travelers like, you know, who are you? Your name is Cronus? And he's like, Cronus, where did you get that from? As he's looking at the patch on his chest that she's pointing at. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess I can see that. So he goes along with Cronus as his name. And as he's talking to Danielle, the cops start to show up. And he says to her that, I just... You know, for saving your life, I just need one thing in return. She's like,
giggity, giggity. No.
She's like, okay, what do you need? He's like, I need your glasses. And she's like, but those are brand new. I just got those. And he's like, and they're stylish, but I need you to trust me. You know, this is the guy who saved your life from a strange
explodey man.
Which is...
Should have been his name.
That's a good name. Strange explodey man. Oh no!
I am Strange Explodey Man.
But so he crushes her glasses in his hand, and then he like time jumps away.
Yeah, just pauses her, and then,
I think he just walks away.
Yeah, but I would just like to say that shattering glass like that is pretty impressive with just a hand.
Again, stop time.
Yeah, fair enough.
He can do it. I mean, yeah, no, you're not wrong. The fact that he can shatter those glasses.
Hey, like see, what we didn't see was him going...
but so he is... Yeah, he's just wandering down the street, and he looks at a window, sees the patch that says Cronus.
Well, okay, it says K, and then there's like a space, and then R-O-N, and then underneath it is U-S.
Yeah, so Cronus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he takes off his mask, and we get a exclamation bubble above it. You know, his speech bubble is just an exclamation mark. Like he didn't.
Oh, I forgot what I looked like.
Yeah. I also noticed that he has white hair here. I don't know if that's. Oh, you got brown on that one.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Coloring issue.
Oh, yeah. I was
thinking, we seem to find those a lot.
Uh huh. Especially between the digital. Yeah, digital and.
Anyway, he it seems like he doesn't recognize who he is. Which is odd, but again, that is I've got a theory on that, and I don't know if I've only read the first four issues. I don't know if they'll explain it in the other eight.
Is this a supposed to be a like first page thing?
No.
Or is this a cover?
It's
or
a
is
montage.
This okay?
Just a montage.
Because I'd like to know who was taking the pictures.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up. Yes, so on the very next page, after he's looked at himself and he puts his mask back on, it's a cool little page. Like, he's posing by himself, and then behind him is a bunch of pictures on, like, websites and newspapers and boob tube.
Yeah, boob tube.
Interesting. YouTube ripoff.
Hey, look, there's a Tumblr one, or a Twitter.
Twitter.
And then a Facebook one.
Nice, yeah. But there are all these pictures of his battle with this individual that we has
the strange exploding man.
Strange exploding man. Exploding yes. man. But like, where did he get the pictures? Because there was no one else around.
Exactly. Peter, where were you?
Nice. But yeah, it's just everybody trying to figure out who this guy is, and we go to the next page and we see Officer Ramirez and Federal Agent Martin running through traffic and
driving
through traffic. Thank you. And Martin is going over a couple of photos, and she makes mention that this guy, Kronos, has saved 3 people in 2 days, and they have no idea why. There's no connection between these 3 people so far. And don't know what his plan is. Don't know what he's trying to do. The Fed, and then she makes mention that the Feds want answers, that they need answers. And Homeland Security apparently is getting antsy with all these superpowered lunatics just popping up randomly.
Because, yeah, this has never bothered him before, but...
New universe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But then we pan down to a bus, a public transport bus, that's being hit by another, what would look like a
split second man. A new one, different one.
This one's got some green oozy powers. He's basically decaying everything around him.
Decaying, disintegrating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all just being eaten up.
Yeah. The bus driver, you know, he first priority gets everybody off the bus. Good bus driver.
Yeah. Either that or he was just the one that was last.
I think he was just the last one because the front of the bus is what gets deteriorated. And the bus is in the back. But then we see Kronos pop up through the bottom of the bus.
Punches a hole through the bottom of the bus.
Well, pops up. Punches a hole, whatever. Grabs the bus driver and pulls him down into the sewer. And then he...
Through a manhole. Like, yes. He didn't punch a hole through the sewer, but...
Yeah, that would be bad. And the bus driver's like, what's happening? What's going on? And Kronos, doing the whole explaining to, talking to, not talking with, you know, he says, you know, he says that that guy up there, that's Splinter, another of the split second men. There are 3 of them in all. Each one has a power related to one of the fundamental forces of the universe. Angstrom is electromagnetic, which is the guy we met first. This is where we get his name finally.
He's a little angsty.
A little bit. Splinter up there can decay matter. I don't even want to talk about the third one. Like, the third one's bad.
But it actually wasn't. Like,
well, we meet him in the next issue. Yeah. You know, it's not that bad. No. I don't know why he doesn't want to talk about him. And the bus driver is all like the like stuttering. There's 3 to 3 forces. And Kronos is like, 4 actually, counting me. But it occurs to me that you're not curious about any of this. So let's talk about you. And he goes, he like yells at him for being on that bus.
This is great. Yeah, because he's like, do you know why he was able to grab and disintegrate your bus, the 1015? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, because it's now 1022, and being late put you in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It definitely is. His superheroism, quotation marks, heroism is really odd.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, as the story pulls together.
As first issues go, this is not the best first issue.
And you're wondering, what the hell is he, like, what the hell is this dude's problem? Like, seriously? Because when I read that, I was like, so seriously, they can only affect things when the time's not going right then?
Well, and again, like you said, they explain it why later.
Yeah.
But yeah, for, like I was saying, this first issue's almost over. But as first issues go, this is definitely not, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
But,
another thing I'd like to point out, none of the, split second men talk.
I was going to bring that up later.
Okay.
Actually, Angstrom said something in the beginning when he saw Danielle. He's like, I see you, as she's running somewhere, like running into the construction site.
Oh.
He's the only one that talks the entire time.
Man, I just thought they were a bunch of mutes.
I thought so too the first time reading it. And then my second time through, I'm like, oh, he does talk. Wait a minute. But, yeah, random small things. But as Kronos is yelling at the bus driver, Splinter pops through. Disintegrates through the road into the sewer. And he's getting ready to attack Kronos. And Kronos is like, all right, on the count of 3, you need to move. Talking to the bus driver. He's like, 1, 2, 3. And as he gets out of the way, moves the bus driver out of the way, as Splinter, you know, punches, but instead of hitting Kronos or the bus driver, hits the wall behind him and
blasts. It looks like it was just a
pipeline, like a water
or something.
Line.
Yeah, or
water main or something. Yeah.
Or it could have even been, I guess, you know, like, I don't know where they're at, but it could have been one of the, like, a river on the other side of the...
Maybe.
But anyways, a lot of water comes through and blasts him off his feet.
I would almost say floods the sewer.
Yeah, which...
Because when the next page, you see Cronus pulling the bus driver out of out of the manhole.
And you kind of see the water bubbling out of it.
Yeah, but would they not have drowned if it was that much... water coming through.
Maybe he split-seconded himself up out of the thing, you know, like, move fast enough to get him to there.
There's some bad plotting again. I mean, this is definitely a lot better than the X-Men. But as he pulls the bus driver out, we see a gun pointed at his head, and the words, "Don't move, weirdo," along with it. And we're introduced to Agent Martin again, Julia Martin of the FBI, and she's telling him to that Cronus that he's under arrest and the bus driver to get away. One thing I want to point out is her partner, which I'm assuming is just the cop that was driving with her,
Martinez.
Yeah, he's all, I like how he's just all standing cocky, like
the one hand on the gun,
buddy.
Yeah, boy.
But he's so important to the story that he's no longer in any more issues after this.
Oh, yeah. He isn't.
He's there and then he's gone. Cronus is like, says to Julia, like, you don't want to arrest me, and he's, you don't have to do anything. And she's like, hell, I don't. You know how much property damage you and your friends, referring to the Split Second Men, have been doing? And he starts talking to her like, oh, they're not my friends, Julia. They're not like your boyfriend or your dad or your
bat, your dog, yeah,
or your kids that you want to have. And by that time, I would have been like, the fuck, get on the ground right now.
Right? Or poof, poof.
Yeah, something. Like, I would just...
Stalker!
Yeah! Like, I would have stood there and just let him keep talking like he knows her when I, you know, she's never seen this guy before, ever. Before anything else can happen, Cronus... his eyes start glowing blue, and then we see a picture of Splinter
punching his hand through Julia, basically disintegrating her from, or, you know, from the inside out. And then he freaks out. Cronus freaks out and starts yelling. And then, of course,
That's the end of. He basically just watched her die. That's the end of.
That's the end of the first issue. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more stories from The Traveler.